Of a different sort, like last week. Last week I introduced our message by saying that we were going to do some family business. And if you're a visitor here with us today, please don't feel like, well, what's there going to be for me? Because one of the advantages you will have is to kind of find out, well, what's this family all about? And that's a good thing. As you're looking, maybe you're considering the possibility of attending this church. This is a great Sunday for you to be here to find out what's this church all about. What does this church believe anyway? And what's their structure? And how does this work? And so not only are we expressing this to the whole congregation, which there are a number of new people that have been attending over the process of the past year or so. And so it's kind of an opportunity to have this family meeting and saying, hey, here's how the family works, and we're glad that you're a part of it, or inviting you to be a part of it. And so with that, it's not the typical kind of teaching message where I open the scriptures and we look at the scriptures. I'm very teacher-oriented to go line upon line, precept upon precept. And in fact, I have great difficulty giving this kind of a message because I want to take every point that I give you and give you the biblical basis. This is why we believe what we believe in. But time doesn't allow that for us to be able to accomplish the purpose that we have today in doing the complete of this introductions class to Praise Fellowship Church. So that's the title of the message, Praise Fellowship Church Introductions Class. And so to start off with, I just want you to know and understand who we are a part of, that we are a part of the Association of Faith Churches and Ministries. That's Pastor Jim Caseman, or actually his biblical gifting would be more apostolic. Jim Caseman is the leader of AFCM, and we're glad to be a part of that. Again, I'm not going to share a lot of detail about what AFCM is all about. If you have any questions about that, type in Association of Faith Churches and Ministers online, and it'll take you to their website, and you can get a lot more information that way. But just to go on then from this to our church and our mission and our purpose is very, very simple. We try to make it very simple, and that is to love God and people too, and to make followers of Jesus. Would you say that with me as is printed there? To love God and people too, and to make followers of Jesus. This basically comes from the great commandment, which from Matthew 22 says, where Jesus was said, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he went on to say, and the second is like the first, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. So loving God and people too. And then to make followers of Jesus comes from the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, or make followers of Jesus. So we express that in a variety of ways. To love God, we do that through worship and praise. We also do that through practice of the scriptures. We want to express not just with our words, but also with our lives that we love God. And to love people too, there's a variety of ways that we do that. First, through sharing the gospel. That's the most loving expression we can have, is to share with people how to be reconciled to God and the good news that God is not counting your sins against you. But also through community in the body, and Corrine made reference to the community, and we've done that in a variety of ways, sometimes through small groups, sometimes through the other activities, like she expressed what Charlie's doing, bringing people out to the shootout, or involvement in other ministries that are happening through the church. We express that love to people, not only outwardly, but also inwardly through community in the body. And then to make followers of Jesus, we do this by discipling others, mentoring, the kind of teaching kinds of things that happen around here, and by training and equipping. Now to go on to our foundational beliefs, I don't think you'll find anything surprising in here. This is basic tenets of faith. And so therefore, I'm not going to take the time to solidify every one of these statements with scripture and text, and I could go on and on and on if I were to do that. In fact, to do it justice, every one of these statements ought to have a week of teaching itself. Maybe some other time, but it's not its purpose today. But first of all, we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Can you say amen to that? It is a revelation from God to man, and it is the infallible rule of faith and conduct. This is how we want to live our lives, by the authority of God's Word. And if there's ever a question about what is right and what is wrong, we don't go to society, we don't go to culture, we go to the Word of God. That's how we want to base our lives and establish that authority. And God's Word is infallible. We believe in the one true Godhead. And that is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. We were singing about that this morning. Hallelujah. And we also believe in the God the Holy Spirit, the one true Godhead. There was such a thing as the fall of man, and we are living under that. The reality of man, he was first created in the image of God, perfect, complete in his being as God. But man, by voluntary sin, fell from his position of being right with God. And we know all about that from the book of Genesis. And man's only hope of reconciliation with God is through Jesus Christ. So then we also believe in the salvation of man, and that is that on the cross, Jesus became the sin sacrifice for man, paying the price for salvation. And it is by grace that we are saved through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. There is evidence of that salvation, though. It's more. We believe it's more than just praying a prayer. Okay? There is evidence of that salvation. That evidence, first of all, is by the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says that the Spirit bears witness with us that we are children of God. So there is that evidence of being born again or saved, receiving salvation by the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to make a change in our lives. If we're honestly, truly saved, it's going to result in the fruit of repentance in our lives. We're going to turn away from the old way of living. When we're talking about being baptized, that old man is buried with Jesus in baptism, raised up in newness of life. And so that's going to result in the fruit of repentance and also works that follow real faith. If you want to read about that, my article in the newsletter is called Defining Faith by Works. And it almost looks like biblically, Paul and James were almost in kind of a battle, but they really weren't. One was complimenting what the other was saying, and you'll see that if you read that article there, that true faith, real faith, is evidenced by works. Works do not make faith, but true faith is evidenced by works. I liked in the last part of the Apostles' Creed that Henry and Lila did this morning. They said, my faith is not making this, it is making me. You know, that was an awesome statement in that. Then we believe in water baptism, which we're going to experience today. And we believe that that is the outward expression of an inward experience of the grace of God. In other words, a person who is being baptized, from our perspective and our biblical understanding, it is a person who has already made Jesus the Lord of their life, and in that, the Spirit of God baptizes them into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 speaks of that. We are by one Spirit baptized. We are baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. And so that happens at salvation, or when a person receives Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the inward grace of God that they experienced. And then there is the outward expression of that through water baptism. And in that water baptism, we choose to do a believer's baptism following conversion rather than an infant baptism, when at that point in the child's life, he doesn't have the conscious awareness that I need to receive salvation. He hasn't made the personal decision. And so that's why we practice believer's baptism following the conversion. And also then, in addition to that, we choose the mode of baptism being immersion for two reasons. One being the meaning of the word means to dip. Okay. And the other is that the significance of the symbol, where it says in Scripture that we are baptized into Jesus' death, okay? And we are buried with him in baptism, united with him in the likeness of his death. Now, don't be distracted by the fish that's swimming by there, okay? That's one of the things we have in the creek that we get baptized in, and I always wear long pants. I'm walking. If you wonder why I'm so casual this morning, it's because I'm walking from here into the river, okay? But if I don't wear long pants, those fish, they come and nibble on my legs. I'm tasty. Fish food. I don't want to be fish food. So we're buried with, the Scripture says, we're buried with him in baptism, and we are united with him in the likeness of his death. That's why we do the immersion. It's like, whoosh, we're going to hold you under. Friday I had a chance to visit with Henry and Lila, and Lila asked if we hold people under for 3 days. She's kidding, you know. And I promised her that I wouldn't. But and then she asked about 3 seconds. I said, "Yeah, probably not even that long." But anyway, the point of it is we don't have to be buried with Jesus for 3 days. But the going under the water is symbolism of being of Jesus going into the grave. And we are buried with him in the likeness of his death. But then this is the cool part, is we bring people back up out of the water. We don't just hold them under. We bring people back up, and they are raised up in the likeness to live the newness of life in the likeness of his resurrection. So that's something neat that we get to experience today. It's a part of our faith. It's part of what we practice, and we'll be doing that together today. We also believe in the Lord's Supper or communion, and that is the celebration of the covenant made with Jesus' blood. And it is to be done, according to the words of Jesus, done in remembrance of him, done in remembrance of the supreme sacrifice of Jesus, him giving himself to die on our behalf. And according to Scripture, is to be done, partaken in a worthy manner. So that is a part of our practice. We also believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that it is a present day reality. It is not something that was just dispensational for the early church or for the first apostles until they died or until the Word of God was complete or whatever kind of reason some people come up with to say that there is no longer a baptism, filling of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, or for a different day, that kind of thing. We believe it is a present day reality. And the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for power, for life, and for service, enabling us to live out the Christianity that Jesus died for us, and enabling us to be a minister or a witness to others. Jesus said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, and you will be my witnesses." Given for power and life and service. And it also results, as salvation results in fruit of repentance, works that follow real faith, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to result in manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We know the love, joy, peace, patience, all the 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then there's also the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are a result as well of receiving that baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are 9, it's interesting, 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that are listed to us in Scripture, and we anticipate that being a part of a person's life who has received that baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the church. Hey, you see yourself in that picture up there? You may. Kind of small, but... the church is the body of Christ. According to the Scripture, the church is the body of Christ, and it is the manifestation of Jesus in the world today. We're here representing him. We're here as ambassadors for him. Jesus is manifesting himself through us. His advocacy is through us to the world. And it is a dwelling of God and the Spirit. These are all scriptural expressions of the church, a dwelling of God and the Spirit, and commissioned by God to go into all the world and to make followers of Jesus. So we see the value and the importance of the church and the body functioning together. We believe in the return of Jesus. I get excited when I think about this. You know, there is a day coming when Jesus is going to come back on his high horse, hallelujah, his mighty horse, with that sword, praise God. And as he comes, he is coming back for his bride, the church. Not a bride that's full of garbage and spot and wrinkle. He's coming back for a bride that is radiant. Hallelujah. So we want to live out that likeness of Jesus in anticipation of his return. He's coming back for his bride, the church. Also, excuse me, all who receive salvation, making Jesus Lord and Savior, will live with him for eternity. Daryl, you want to grab me water? I think I'm just coming up short here a little bit on the throat. All who receive salvation, making Jesus Lord and Savior, will live with him for eternity. I'm just so excited about our future. And that is the hope of a believer, that we will be with him forever. Praise God. And also, he will come to judge the living and the dead. That was part of the Apostles' Creed, if you remember that statement in there that was, thank you, that was given this morning. Coming to judge the living and the dead. But in that judgment for those who are not in Christ, the Word of God says that there is an eternal judgment, which is the second death for all who do not accept Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And anyone whose name, according to the Word of God, anyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life shall be consigned to an everlasting punishment. in the lake of fire, separated from God for eternity. At this point, it'd be very appropriate for me to ask you, do you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the big question for all eternity people. And the scripture says, you know, these things were written that we might know that we have eternal life. So it doesn't have to be a question, well, I hope so, I think so, I don't know, have I been good enough? It's not based on you being good enough. It's based on you having accepted that free gift of salvation by grace through faith. That's what it's based on. And making an honest choice to make Jesus as not only the one that saves you from hell or from this lake of fire or from eternal separation from God, but also making him the Lord of your life, which results in the fruit of repentance. It results in works that follow real faith. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? There's nothing else in this message this morning. Chew on that and make that determination for yourself today. There's one distinction that would maybe, I don't think would cause us to be different from a lot of churches, but something that we do declare is very valuable, very important, the word of faith, and that is also a scriptural term from Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 says, the word is near you in your heart and in your mouth, and this is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It goes on to say that. That's the word of faith which we preach. And that word, the word of God, is so important. We understand that. That word in our heart and in our mouth. And so in what we would call a word of faith type of church, you will often hear things about faith in the promises of God. You will also hear things about confession of the word, confessing of the promises of God, coming into agreement with what God says rather than saying things naturally. You know, we speak about the power of life and death is in the tongue. That's scriptural. And yet how often we speak out death is just natural. Hey, it's just killing me. Oh, my back is killing me. You know, those kinds of things is so natural because we live in a society that is focused on death. We desire to turn that around and say, you know what, there's power in your words. Speak the words that are going to bring life, not death. You know, God has life for us. So it's confession of the promises of God. That's part of what I would say is intended to be a distinctive of our church, and that we want to emphasize the abundant life that Jesus came to give. Jesus said the thief, John 10:10, thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So we talk about that abundant life and what that includes, the deliverance that we receive. When the scripture says that we've been delivered from the dominion of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son, what does that mean? That we no longer have to live under the suppression of the enemy. We know that we wrestle against principalities and powers. We know that there is still that spiritual warfare that goes on, but we also know the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. And so we proclaim those kinds of things, that the abundant life Jesus came to give us. So that is one of the distinctives of this church, what we intend to do. Well, let me share a few of the details concerning the governing structure of Praise Fellowship Church. And again, there are a lot of variety of church governing structures, and I'm not here to say, this is the one, people, this is the only one that's going to work. I think there's a lot of them that will work and a lot of them that won't work. And it's not always dependent upon the way the structure is. It's more dependent upon the people's hearts and motives that are involved in that. And so I'm not going to stand up and say this is the only one, but this is our attempt to be as closely as we understand the scriptures, particularly the New Testament church and their structure. And so therefore we desire a theocracy which is of God and for the people, and that can be compared to a democracy or contrast to a democracy which is of the people and for the people. Now, I believe that you can have a democracy in a church congregation and it still be of God and for the people. There's just some, I'm just not going to go into the details of it. If you have questions about that, I'd be glad to visit with you some other time outside of this message here this morning. But our desire, our great intent is to have God be the one that's in control here and not just people saying, what are we going to decide that we want to do? OK, Okay, and I believe there's biblical ways that God can have that authority and have that control. It starts out with Jesus being the head of the church. Okay, Jesus being the head of the church, and then according to the scriptures, there are pastors, elders that receive a delegated authority from the Spirit of God to give oversight to the church. I could take you to Acts 20:28, where Paul gathers the Ephesian elders together and he says, guard yourselves in the flock of God of whom God has made you to be overseers, or of whom the Spirit has made you to be overseers. And so we just acknowledge that, you know, God expresses a delegated authority through leadership. And what I want to say about this is think family. Think family. You know, a family is not a democracy. Sometimes, you know, because we live in a democracy in America, we think everything should be governed by a democracy, but it's not. It works well for the government. Sometimes it works well until it just absolutely becomes political and then it doesn't work at all. But if you think family, you know, a mother and father have a delegated authority over that family, over that household. They don't just take a vote, you know, especially when the kids outnumber mom and dad. It's like, wait a minute, we're not going majority rules here. You know, mom and dad have had, first of all, that grace of God on their lives and the anointing from God, the experience and all those kinds of things that factor into giving leadership to that family, and it happens within the body of Christ as well. If we were to put up a flow chart, okay, and some people can get uncomfortable with it, but you know, just hear me through to the end on this, okay? If we were to put up a flow chart, again, what we would say is that Jesus is to be the head of this church. If it's going to be a theocracy, Jesus is going to be the head of this church. God will be in control. And his authority then is expressed in and through a variety of ways. It's not just me as pastor, but we also have a church board which also includes not only myself and Melanie, but also Dan Gassler and Andy Sperlin, and also through AFCM, Jim Caseman. We're, like I said, connected with that organization, and there is oversight there. There is a resource there for us to go to, and we have in the past, when we've had to deal with some difficult issues, we have them as a resource, and Jim makes himself available to serve us in that capacity. So we are really, really blessed that way. On our board, I have to apologize. I don't have a picture of Andy and Lori, but you've seen them. They were just here a couple of weeks ago. Pastor Dan and Linda Gassler, you've seen them like about a month ago. And our intent is to keep them connected with you guys so you know who's working together with us for the spiritual leadership in this congregation. But then it not only goes from there, it also goes to ministry leaders, and we are blessed with a group of people who give leadership to the various areas of ministries, and I see them as a resource for myself, as more like an advisory board that from the areas of jurisdiction or from the areas that they serve in, they have the capacity to input to me and me to them, and you see that arrow goes back and forth. It's not just one way. It's a back and forth kind of arrow. And at present, this is a ministry team that fluctuates some depending on, well, I'll share with you, you know, how seasons work and that kind of thing. But at present, we have Mr. and Mrs. Grunseth, who are part of the kids' church. I call them Mr. and Mrs. for the most part because they're connected with the kids. And we want the kids to be honoring who they're, not just Randy and Tammy, but they're Mr. and Mrs. Grunseth. And Ted, he's back there giving leadership to the audio and visual. You know, when it comes to direction, he's directing to me. I'm not directing to him. I tell him what I want. He says, this is how you're going to do it. You know, I have no clue. I can turn some buttons and dials and probably mess things up doing that, but he's the all-knowing audio-visual technician there, so that is special there. We also have Charlie and Susie who give leadership to our greeting and hospitality kinds of ministry types of things there. Steve and Linda with parenting ministry, and Steve and Lou. Hey Lou, Steve and Sue Lee, Mr. and Mrs. Lee. Give them the respect that they are due, and they give leadership to our youth ministry and do an awesome job with that. And Mr. Walters, Daryl, who is our lead head usher and takes care of the physical aspects of ministry that happens here during the services and so forth. And then we have just put an addition here, and I have to apologize for the picture, Larissa, but this is all I had. And we'll get an updated one that's a little, you know, current. But Larissa is coming on as our music ministry leader. And hasn't she already done an awesome job? And speaking of awesome job, let's give kudos to Isaiah. Hey, Isaiah, he's back in the sound booth there this morning. Raise your hand. He did an awesome job too. And that's part of that, making that connection. I don't know exactly how you guys did it, but it was good. And this it's neat to see that happening in the music ministry. Again, this is, you know, this sometimes fluctuates, and part of it is because of seasons. You know, Larissa may not be here the rest of her life. I don't know why she wouldn't, but for some reason or other, there may be a season where she moves out of that place. And we've had that over the years where people have moved in and moved out. But one of the things I just want to say about our leaders is we have had the most awesome leaders over the years, because there's not been a, well, that's my position, no one's going to do, you know. There has been the acknowledgement of other giftings that have come in, and it's, you know, it's like, step aside, let that gift have its place. These people are not there for power or for control. These are spiritually mature people who, you know, are giving themselves over to the body and giving themselves over to the Lord, and it's just awesome what we get to experience together when we're meeting together and when we're, you know, doing various activities, and the wisdom and input that they have to share back with myself. And I feel I have the best. It's just awesome. That's great. So going on from there, we also have ministry helpers. And in reality, if you're not in one of these other boxes on there, you ought to be in this last box. Okay? Because all of us have a place in the body at some point or another. And the leadership isn't just relegated to those. There's all kinds of leadership in the helping areas. And so just because you're a helper doesn't mean, well, how am I not a leader? We all have our areas of leadership and can aspire to leadership. The scripture encourages that. So we want to give that free flow of activity to happen within the body of Christ for everyone to be fulfilling their place. And more on that later. But, you know, if you get a little bit uncomfortable with, you know, flow charts, well, who has authority, who's in the position of charge, and who has the say-so and that kind of thing, in reality, the biblical thing to do would be turn this upside down. Because this is what Scripture says, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. So in reality, if anyone has a place of authority or a place of a position of leadership, its intent and its purpose is to come under and support those that they're leading. To say, I'm here to serve you. That was Jesus' answer to. He says, we're not like the Gentiles, lording it over. It's not going to be that way with you. But the greatest among you, he's the one that's going to be the servant of all. She's the one that's going to be the servant of all. So if you're aspiring to leadership, what you're aspiring to is servanthood. Just understand that. That's what the Lord has intended. So we want to see this as, you know, this is a coming under and a supportive. That's what its intent is. And it's, being ideal, its intent is to come under and be supportive of each person in the body of Christ and the ministry that God has called them to. Okay, so then following God's delegated authority. This is something that I just want to bring out. We are going to look at some scripture today, at least one verse, from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. And you might say in your heart, oh, I know why he's bringing that one up. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Yeah. Hear this, people, I'm preaching at you. Well, this is why, and this is where I quit preaching and start to get real mousy. It says, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. You know, that's the scary part of this verse for me anyway, because God has called me to a place of leadership, and there is this account that's going to be given, and there is intended for this watching over to happen. And so it says, you know, that this can be done in a way that's beneficial for both those who are under authority and those who are in authority. It says, let them do this with joy. In other words, let them give the oversight and give the account with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Okay, so this kind of, and this is my point, it comes from an earned trust, not a demanded submission. No leader ought to say, you know, the Bible says submit. therefore you submit to me. I demand it because that's what the Word of God says. That's wrong. I think that's wrong. I think a person who has expressed themselves in such a manner that is a representation of the Lord's leadership in any area, if it's over the congregation as pastor or within the congregation as ministry leader, that kind of thing, that if they're doing that in an appropriate manner, they'll earn the respect that brings that naturally, submission to leadership and obedience to leadership, that kind of thing. So it comes from an earned trust, not a demanded submission. But it can be done in a way that's beneficial for all of us, okay? Or it can be one that's done with grief. And it's not profitable for anyone if it's done with grief. Okay, and again, think family. You know, when it comes to submission and authority that, you know, kids for the most part, I mean, sometimes there's that rebellious attitude, but kids for the most part understand mom and dad are there for them and have their well-being and their interest in their heart. And so think about it that way again. Then we practice what we call here gift-based ministry, and that is functions in the church body based on recognized gifts and seasons, not on elected terms. I know, you know, in the church that I grew up in, and again, I realize there's a variety of ways that churches structure, but there was an annual election and a committee that put together people for those positions, and people would take their turns in the various positions. And I, you know, I gave my year to that, and so move on to something else, bring someone else in, one thing that doesn't do, I don't think, is fully recognize people's gifts. When people are placed by their gifts, it's not for an elected season. For an elected term. It's until that season is done. Like I already made reference to, people have seasons in their life that bring about change, and so there can be adjustments made. And we have made those throughout our history as a church. And for the most part, you know, once in a while some tension, but for the most part, those have been very smooth transitions. And as we recognize gifts, and as none of us hold fast to our position, well, that's my place, you can't take that away from me. For the most part, I have leaders saying, hey, anyone else who wants to do this, I'm fine with that. You know, that's kind of, and, you know, as far as pastoring, there's times where I'd say, you know what, anyone else want to pastor? You can give that account to the Lord. Go ahead, you know. You can have that place. But, you know, it's not just for, we don't just quit when it gets difficult either. You know, that's, in fact, when you see someone quit just because it's difficult, that's sometimes an indication of a hireling. You know, the wolf comes and boom, the shepherd's gone. So it's not to be that way. But also, we see in Scripture that there are gifts that are given for equipping. In Ephesians 4, it talks about the ascension gifts. When Jesus ascended, he gave these gifts to men, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, to prepare God's people for works of service. So there are equipping gifts that are given, and that is so that the body of Christ, for the body of Jesus, to be able to do the work of the service that he has gifted them to do. The whole, and it goes on to say in that passage, the whole body being held together by what every joint supplies. Everyone say every. Okay, so there is every joint in the Scripture, or in the body of Christ, in the church. You are one of those joints. So the well-being of the body is dependent upon those joints giving their supply. Okay? So your part in the body is very vital for the well-being and the growth of the body. We also acknowledge God's placement in the Scriptures. It speaks about God placing people. The body has many members, and it says God has placed each one as he desires. Now, I believe that is within a congregation. In other words, God brings people. I believe that you are here as a part of this body because God has placed you here. You discerned by the Spirit of God, this is a place that's called home for me. There's a place for me here. God has placed you here. But then also within the congregation, there's placement of God. You know, like we acknowledged the placement, God's placement of Melanie here a few weeks ago in part of the spiritual leadership of this congregation as together with me as pastor. That there is that placement and God places people. Corrine's looking for placement for people involved with children's ministry. There is placement for all the kinds of things that we are doing in ministry together as a church. And God places each one as he desires. And then we are to employ those gifts. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it talks about employing those gifts. Each one has received a special gift. Again, say each one. Okay, so no one is excluded from that statement. Each one has received a special gift, and it says to employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the grace of God. So that gift is a grace from God. He has deposited in your life a grace by which He desires you to serve the body of Christ. And then He says, now employ that gift. Don't make that gift stand in the unemployment line. Employ that gift. There's no unemployment compensation for unemployed gifts. Employ that gift. Put that gift to work. It's the grace of God, and you want to be a good steward of that grace of God. Otherwise, again, you're not supplying your joint, and the body is going to not be as healthy or grow as God intended it to. So employ that gift. There's another description of giftings, and I'd like to go here. I'm thinking, Lord willing, we may do this next Sunday, to talk about fields of assignment. That's a biblical term used in the New International Version. But fields of assignment, it's like you have been given an assignment, a field of assignment. Do you know what that is? Do you know how to act out that assignment that God's been given, that God has given you? It's another term for employing that gift. So we desire to be a gift-based ministry. Well, then let's talk about membership. Membership brings up different thoughts in different people's minds. Sometimes it's, you know, it feels like, well, you're trying to confine us or lock us in. But again, you know, my intent would be think about family again, connecting with the family. Everyone wants to be a part of a family. And I believe that's the way God intended with the church too. That is to be like a family and to become a part of the family. And this next part that I'm going to share with you is not in your notes. I had to cut back some way to get it fit on 4 pages. But this next part is every week in your announcement sheet, okay? So that is where we talk about connecting with the family, and first comes the invitation. When you think of someone coming to your household, the most effective way of getting them to come is by inviting them. Typically, people don't just show up. Say, hey, I'm here to see you, or whatever. But the best way to get them to come is by an invitation. And that is where we say, come and join the family. Come and be a part of the family. And we want to introduce you first to our Father. By way of introduction, we want to introduce you to Father God. Come and meet Father God. And we do that in a variety of ways. You know, our intent in the praise and worship time here is to come into the presence of God. So that when people, you know, come in here, they, you know, something's different. It's because they sense the presence of God. There's this awesome communion that's going back and forth between Himself and us. This is the presence of God. My intent when I am speaking the Word of God is for you to hear Father's voice. This is what our Father sounds like. These are the words that He speaks. Sometimes they're encouraging words. Sometimes they're corrective words, like every father is going to do. Father who loves his children is going to discipline them. And so God does with us as well. But we want you to meet Father. And then we want you to meet the rest of the family. And again, that happens in a variety of ways, through the community that takes place, even in our fellowship time after the service. You know, those are things that tend or lend towards meeting the family. I've made some jokes now and then about, you know, interaction with the family. We'll call this in the next part interaction. Join us in the family room. These can be small group kind of activities. And, you know, this is the kind of thing where I say, you know, instead of just seeing each other on Sunday morning. I mean, you all look great here today. You know, you made up your faces, you did your hair, those of you who had hair to deal with. You know, dressed, and, you know, you're smiling, you're behaving, you know, all that kind of stuff on a Sunday morning. But get the same group of people in some competitive sport and watch out, you know. I remember inviting the Mrozeks to our Valentine's banquet, you know, that we had out at Walter's last February. I said, you know people here from Sunday morning, but you'll see a whole different crowd on that night because, you know, they'll start playing, what's the name of the game? Farkle. They start playing Farkle and you see a whole different kind of people. The real one, real people, you know, the real personality will come out then, you know. And I'm just saying that in fun, but in reality, it's like that's family room activity. when you're joining the family, there's work time, but there's family room activity as well. This is where we're just enjoying one another in the family. And but then there's household chores, and this is, again, you've already been hearing us make appeal to that, to be involved in the activities of the house. At some point, you're not going to be just an invited guest saying, come on in and enjoy us serving you. We're going to ask you to come, hey, come into the kitchen, there's potatoes to be peeled, okay? You can help peel some potatoes or something. You know, there's household activities, there's ministry to take place in the body of Christ. And that is fulfilling your part in the family. And then we go from there to let's invite the neighbors. And we're making some adjustments, and you could hear that also in Corrine's speaking this morning, that we don't want to just invite the neighbors. We want to get beyond just to being attractional. You know, come join us. We want to serve you. We want to, you know, be a blessing to you here, kind of thing, where instead we make the adjustment to let's go out. You know, let's serve our neighbors. Let's be more missional-minded than just attractional. It's not like we forget being attractive, but we want to add to that the not just invite the neighbors, but let's go serve the neighbors. Okay, so there's some adjustment that we're making. And that's where we get involved in the community outreach and the more than just attractional, but missional. Now, let me also share this. There's a difference between members and attenders. And that is, I would say, attenders are those who may or may not be in a relationship with the Lord yet. Our desire is to introduce people to the Father, and that they can come into a relationship with Him. They can hear what the Father says, that I am not counting your sins against you, but I have made a way for you to be right with me through Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross. And they'll hear those words and they'll initiate that relationship with the Father. But there may be those who may or may not be in a relationship with the Lord and searching for their place, and I want to say they are welcome here. Sinners are welcome here among the rest of us sinners. Those who are saved by grace, and those who still fall, and those who still make mistakes, and those who still have to repent and receive forgiveness for our sin. They're welcome here. And so we want that to be understood. But then there's a difference between attenders and members. Members is where God places people, members, as it pleases Him. And I use that word members because God does. He uses that word in the scripture. And so our intent is, first of all, to help people find their place. Part of this message here today is to help people find their place in that you may for the first time have heard something in here either about our basic beliefs or about the government of this church that would either attract you or repel you. You know, and we can be okay with either one of those. You know, as long as we can help you find your place. If your place is not here with us, let us help you find the place that God has called you, because He does place members as it pleases Him. So we want to help people find their place. And also, we see that membership here as part of Praise Fellowship Church is intended to be a two-way commitment. It's members to the church and it's church to the members. Now, the things that you will see in your outline here, I've also printed together. If you've never had the opportunity to make any kind of expression of intent to become a member of Praise Fellowship Church, we're going to offer you that opportunity. I'm not saying sign the dotted line this morning. In fact, it's not even dotted. It's a complete line. So, but you don't have to sign it today, but we'll make these available. And if you want to take one with you, pray over it. Look at what, you know, what I believe are reasonable expectations are, you know, and you see that, you know, this is the place where God is calling me to be a part, not just to attend, but also to be a part of this family, then we'll invite you and give you the opportunity to do that. But anyway, in that it says that the members' part of the commitment is, first of all, to have established a relationship of being reconciled to God. You really can't be a member of the church if you are not reconciled to God. If you haven't received salvation, not been born again, there's, you know, membership would be in name only, because we become a part of the body of Christ through salvation. And so that is initiated by establishing a relationship of being reconciled to God. And to continue in the process of being made complete in Christ as a follower of Jesus. That's our whole purpose, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We are predestined to become conformed to the image of Jesus. So that's what we would expect as a person is desiring to grow towards that, to become complete in that, to press toward completeness, and to participate in the ministry of the church with the gifts that God has given you. Again, I'm appealing to what the scriptures say about employing your gift as a good steward of the grace of God, not letting that gift just go, but to participate. And also to press for unity in the body and not stir strife. Sometimes some people feel like they have the gift of strife, or they wouldn't call it that, but the gift of correction or whatever that brings strife into a congregation. And we say, you know, there are differences and we understand that, but there's appropriate way of dealing with those things. And first, the most appropriate way is in walking in love. And that is where you speak the truth, but you speak it in love, you know, with preference for the other. You know, there's all kinds of things that could be a whole message in itself. But also dealing with offenses in a biblical manner. In this congregation, as with any church, you will find there are plenty of opportunities to be offended. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Some of you have been. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I have been. Amen. Sometimes I offend myself. It's that bad. But the point of it is there is a biblical way of dealing with offenses. There is a biblical way of dealing with offenses, and that's what we want to always encourage. There's going to be opportunity to be offended. There's times where we will sin against one another. But the point of it is there's a way of dealing with that so that, you know, we don't have to let that become something that becomes divisive and tears the body apart. So we want to press for that unity in the body and not stir up strife. And to support the church in tithes and offerings. As we receive the offering, I expressed to you, this is an opportunity that God gives you, and I believe that is the way that God intends to finance His body's ministry, is through the tithes and the offerings of the people that are a part of that congregation. And so we present that to you, and we say, just respond in obedience to the Word of God. But that's what we would expect, or that's what we would intend for a person who wants to say, I want to be a part of that. It's like, this is one of the household responsibilities, so we invite you to be a part of that as well. Well then, what's the church's commitment back to you? First of all, it is to provide a spiritual covering for its members. And another whole message there, but there is the reality of being under the umbrella of spiritual protection of a covering body. And not only for people as individuals, but for churches. That's why we are a part of the Association of Faith Churches and Ministers. We do not need to be an island out on our own. We do not need to be mavericks out just doing our own thing. That's a very unsafe position. I don't care how spiritual you are, how close to God you are. There's opportunities for deception. Even our own hearts deceive us at times, and we don't want to get off that path. We want to have someone we're connected with that can say, hey, that's error. Bring it back. That kind of thing. We all need that. So it's a spiritual covering for its members. And also to provide community where each person can find acceptance and can develop and grow. That's our heart's desire. I realize sometimes there's the difference between the ideal and the real. And you might feel like there's something that happened that didn't make me feel very accepted in this body. And I say, yeah, okay, we're human, we're fallible, we make mistakes, there are opportunities to be offended. But this is what our commitment is, this is what our desire is, to provide community where each person can find acceptance and can develop and grow. To spiritually feed and nurture those that God has called here. I see that for myself, that's probably the greatest calling in my life. But also there's that delegated where it's handed off to others when ministry gifts come and they also impart those things. It's not just for me to do, but that is a great part of my responsibility for the feeding and nurturing, and that's what a pastor does. And also to equip each believer to become an able minister of the grace of Jesus Christ, and also to provide vision and direction so the body can work together. These are the things that we desire to commit to you if you determine that it is right for you to become a member of this church. And so, like I said, we're going to give you the opportunity. I don't think I need to have people raise hands, because you might just be in that thought process. And well, if I don't raise my hand, what's that going to look like? If I do raise my hand, Tawny's got her hand raised. So, so if you want, Daryl, come and give one of these to Tawny. We're just going to make sure that her intent is satisfied here today. But for the rest, unless you're going to raise your hands, you don't have to, but we'll give you the opportunity. There's a stack of these here that we'll put out on the server. Take them, look over them, and determine what your purpose and intent is, and just respond at the appropriate time. Doesn't have to come back to me today. Doesn't have to come back you know, just give yourself the time that you need to do what you're supposed to do with that. With that, I think I'm hesitant. I almost want to open it up for questions, but anyone have a burning question that you need to have answered now? That sounds kind of discouraging, doesn't it? Saying, don't you dare. It's not. I know we want to move on to the rest of our celebration and our service this morning, so. Okay, let's pray then. Lord, I'm glad for the opportunity to share these things this morning and do some family activities, have this family meeting here today. I pray, Lord, that as I prayed at the beginning, that you would take this message and use it for each personal individual as you see fit. Father, it may just be thoughts to inspire or thoughts to question, challenges scripturally to, well, what did you mean by that? How does that line up with the scripture? I see it differently. And Lord, we can chew those things out. There's opportunity for that here. And I just pray, Lord, that with these thoughts that we would, first of all, understand that you do intend for us, Lord, to be a part of a church, that you have a place for us, that you desire to place us as you see fit, as it pleases you. And I pray, Lord, that we would not only find our place, but we would also find the function that we have within that body. And that each one of us, Lord, in the season of our life and in the season of ministry that you have called us to, in the season of our spiritual maturity, we would be applying ourselves to the places that you have intended for us. I just thank you for this congregation, Lord. I know that you have blessed us in many abundant ways, and such a generous people and such a gifted people, and we consider ourselves extremely blessed, Lord. And I'm very thankful for that. Lord, I just am humbled to know that you have called me to a place of leadership in this congregation, and I just want to serve you in a way that's fit and proper, and that properly represents you. And I just pray that we can press on together, Lord, through the difficult times, through the times when it's like sailing smooth and all things are working and clicking. And we know that we go through different times and different seasons, and we want to uphold these ideals before you, Lord, and continue to press for that. Thank you very much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, rather than the extended